In Matthew chapter 22, we have a statement of Jesus about the first and the great commandment. When you begin to build a house, what is the first thing you begin to build? We always begin with the foundation, don't we? That's the first thing you start with. You don't start with the cabinets, Mike. I'm sorry, that's not the first thing. You know, you don't start with the flooring, Ken. I'm sorry, the carpet's not the most important thing. That comes later. You start with the foundation. And we find in life and in Scripture what God wants to come first, what He wants to be the first and the foundation, because everything is built on that. There are other good things, but what comes first is a foundation. And what we're going to see this morning is that when we get up each day, if we have laid the foundation that day, then we can build on it throughout the day. Whether it's things that we need to be doing for good, whether it's staying away from temptation, whether it's obeying God and serving others, we start with a good foundation and we can build on that. In Matthew chapter 22, we're going to be reading verses 34 through 40. What we find is that this is the Tuesday of Jesus' final week before going to the cross. It's a very long day. It begins in Matthew 21 and it runs all the way through the first part of Matthew chapter 26, where Jesus has entered into the temple for a long day of teaching and then He leaves that evening. During that very busy day of teaching, Jesus is approached by a lawyer in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 34. And he's asked a difficult test question. In verse 35, he came questioning him and trying him or testing him. I don't know about you, but in school I never liked the test questions. But Jesus did not shy away from this test question, but used it rather to teach an important lesson of laying the proper foundation in one's life. The question was, what is the first and great commandment? I want to read in Matthew 22 and verse 34 with you together this morning. But the Pharisees, when they heard that He had put the Sadducees to silence, gathered themselves together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked Him a question, testing Him or trying Him. Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? And He said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second likened unto this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments, the whole law hangeth, and the prophets. What we find here in verse 35 is that this lawyer comes to Jesus and he tries to test Him. He wants to know what is the greatest commandment out of all of the law of Moses, from Matthew to Malachi. And there's a lot of verses there and a lot of commandments there. The test may have been, let's see which particular religious group Jesus is going to side with. Because at that day there were different religious teachers and they had their groups and they had different interpretations about the law. And they would pick in their little group which they thought was the greatest commandment. Maybe one group would pick a commandment dealing with offering up sacrifices. Maybe another group would pick a commandment dealing with personal holiness. One man named Hillel had a group, and another man named Shammai had a group, and there were other religious groups. And so let's see what group Jesus is going to pick. Maybe that was the test. Let's see which group He would side with. Or maybe it was more along the lines of counting up all of the commandments and seeing which of the 600 plus commandments there were in the Old Testament. Let's see which one Jesus is going to pick. There's no way He can pick one out of all of those and be right. Maybe if He picks one that has to do with serving God, then we'll catch Him and we'll say that He's neglecting the ones that deal with serving man. But if He picks one that deals with your fellow man, then He's going to leave undone those that deal with serving God, and so we'll be able to catch Him. Whatever the test was, we're not told in their minds what they were particularly trying to get at, whether it was picking one particular religious group or over another, or one particular command over another. They hoped to trick and to test and trap Jesus. But Jesus avoided that. He answered the question, but avoided the test by going back to what is foundational and what is first. And Jesus responded by saying in verse 37, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." This is taken from the scripture reading that Mason had earlier in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. And then a second likened unto this, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself," which was taken from Leviticus 19 and verse 15. Jesus said, "On these two commandments the whole law hangeth and the prophets." I want you to look at that statement in verse 40. Everything hangs on this. So I want you to think of it from the standpoint of two pegs in a wall. You've got Deuteronomy 6:5, and you've got Leviticus 19:18, and they're like two pegs in a wall. And you can hang everything on that. You can put a shelf up at home if you have, what, two brackets? If you have one, you can't really put a shelf up too well, can you? But you put up two brackets, you put up two pegs, and you can lay a shelf across that, and you can hang a lot on that. And so it's the idea of that which is foundational, that which everything can be built upon. And really, if you think about it, Jesus was not saying anything new. Jesus was not picking something that the Jews did not have any idea about. And we know that for certain. For example, turn back with me to Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. Is not this what Micah is getting at? In Micah chapter 6, in verse 8, "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth Jehovah require of thee, but to do justly, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with thy God." The first two deal with how you treat your neighbor, to walk justly or fairly, to walk in loving kindness, that's treating others right, and then to walk humbly with thy God. How you treat your neighbor and how you serve God. That was already taught back in Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. But also turn with me to Luke chapter 10 in the story of the Good Samaritan. I find it interesting that Jesus asked a man in Luke chapter 10 about this very matter. And do you know what the man said? He said exactly what Jesus said. So I know that the Jews knew this. Jesus wasn't saying anything new. And Luke chapter 10, by the way, the story in Luke 10 comes long before the story in Matthew 22. So it wasn't like this man had heard Jesus in Matthew 22. This story in Luke 10 comes before that. Look at Luke 10, verse 25. "A lawyer stood up and made trial of him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How do you read? And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." That man answered exactly the way Jesus answered. They knew what was key and fundamental and foundational. And Jesus said unto him, "You have answered right. This do, and you shall live." So the Jews knew these things that Jesus was talking about. He was not laying down some new principle. Loving God and loving your neighbor is the foundation of the law. Micah had said that before, and this man in Luke 10 had known it. The problem was not knowing it. The problem was they wouldn't go out and practice it. And so this morning, then, I want us to see what this means. What does this mean? To love God with all of your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. We're going to see this morning that it is the foundation upon which everything rests. And even though we're not under the old law, it is no longer binding. These same two passages are binding, however. And we need to learn what they mean. We need to apply them in our lives. And we need to learn to get the foundation right. And then the rest of the structure that we're building in our lives will be right. The foundation has to be level. The foundation has to be without cracks. The foundation has to be deep enough to support a heavy structure. You get the foundation right first, You get the footers and the foundation right first, and then you can build properly on that. Jesus is saying, if you get the foundation right, loving God with all of your heart and your neighbor as yourself, then when you build your life on that, it will be built right. So what does it mean then to have the first and the great commandment? Well, Jesus said, loving God. And he said, love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and if you add in Mark 12, body and strength. What Jesus is saying here is that we need to love God with our whole being. Every part of it is going to be given to God. We're not going to allow a little wedge or a little piece of the pie to be left for self or the devil, but our entire being. It's not so much that you go down through the list and you find different nuances or differences in each of these words and you pick out what might be different and then you love God in each of those ways, but more along the lines of this is just our whole being, our inward and our outward man. Now, sometimes we make the point on the Bible heart, for example, that there's the part of our heart that's the intellect and the emotion and the will. I've preached that sermon, and that's a good sermon. And we can go down through and look at some details in which the inward man has different emphasis. But here, I believe the idea is just simply with your whole being. Physically and mentally. Emotionally, intellectually, physically, we're going to give God our body and our soul. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. I believe it comes out there. The point simply is that one part of the foundation each day is that we give God our all. Have you ever noticed, as you're turning over to Romans 12, have you ever noticed that if you ever experience any problems in your life where you're not quite being the Christian that you need to be, at that moment, often it's just simply, there's a little piece of the pie there that we're not giving to God. We want to use that for ourselves at the moment or to do something that the devil wants. We're not completely giving over our all. What about people that don't read their Bible and pray as they should? What about people that have attendance problems? What about people that might have the temptation problems and things like that? A lot of it is solved and resolved by giving God your all. It's when we hold back and keep a little piece of the pie for us that we begin to act up and do that which is wrong. If we would give God our all, everything that we're doing, mentally and physically, then those things would take care of themselves. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, there's your physical side of your life, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. But then look at it, which is your spiritual service. One version says, which is your reasonable service. The reason, the mind, the spirit of man is used, and the body of man is used. The body and the mind, the body and the spirit, all of it is given to God in service and in sacrifice to Him. So the first thing that Jesus says in quoting Deuteronomy 6 is that we're going to give God our whole being. Again, like I said earlier, well, I've got attendance problems. You know, I might come on Sunday morning, but I might not be back. You know, I could be back, but I might not. Well, that's a little piece of my life that I'm holding for myself and what I want to do, you see. Or I might have other problems in the church and in my life. A lot of it will be solved if we will just completely and totally love God and serve God and obey Him. The point simply is this, that we're not going to compartmentalize our life. We're not going to say, okay, I'll give God this, but I won't give Him this. Everything, heart, soul, mind, body, and strength, all of it is given over to God. Some want to compartmentalize their life. They say, well, I love God in this area of my life, but over in this area of my life, I'm not going to obey Him. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 15. Notice how that the Jews did something similar to this. They claimed to love God, but in other areas of their life, they kept that for themselves. In Matthew chapter 15, in verse 7, well did Isaiah prophesy, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So with my lips, I'm going to honor God. With my heart, I'm going to be far from him. So I'm going to compartmentalize my life. I'm going to give God this part of my life, but I'm not going to give him that part. In vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrines the precepts of men. There's going to be a part of my life where I want to teach what I want, what man wants, and then I'll give another part of my life to God, and that'll all be fine. No, I'm not going to compartmentalize my life. Well, you know, I got my church life, you know. I got my church family, and then during the week I do something else. Or I live one way when I go to the church building, and then I live another way when I go somewhere else. That's compartmentalizing my life, and I'm not going to do that. I'm going to give God my all no matter where I'm at, no matter what day of the week it is, no matter where I'm living. Turn with me to Luke chapter 11. Luke says the same thing, and he explains it. Luke chapter 11 and verse 42. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint, that is, you count out ten pieces of mint. You tithe mint and rue and every herb, and you can just see them there, counting them out. The detail involved in that, the carefulness involved in that, the concern involved in all of that, but you pass over justice and the love of God. These ought you to have done and not left the other undone. You pass over some things. And so, in this part of my life, I'm going to count out 10. But in this part of my life, I don't feel like I have to be just and fair when I'm out doing something with somebody else. And he even says, you pass over the love of God. But now, in this part of my life, I'm going to count out 10 pieces of meat. What is that? That is, I'm going to focus on this, but not on this, when in fact it's to be everything that God wants me to do. I'm not going to compartmentalize my life. Well, you know, I'm going to sort of do a bare minimum Christianity, and if I need to go down to the building, I'll do that. But then later in the day, you know, I've got some other stuff I want to do, you see. Every part of my being is going to be given to God. And so you can see how that would clear up attendance problems. It would clear up temptation problems and other kinds of things that we might face from time to time. We're going to give God our all. And so, before we move on to the matter of loving our neighbor, let us grow. Let us grow in this concept of loving God with our whole being. And I believe that is something that can be grown. It can be matured. It can be developed more and more. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. We can grow more into this by changing our priorities, by reading the Bible more, by praying more, by loving God's people more. We can grow more into this attitude of giving God my all. We can change our thinking about putting God first and the things of this life second. And so, Paul prays in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 5 that the Lord would direct your hearts into the love of God. Look at that. Direct your hearts into the love of God. I can grow more into loving God. I can direct my heart more into that. The same in 1 John 2 and verse 5, that loving God is keeping His commandments. And Jude 21, our love for God. So let us grow more toward that. If I see that I'm compartmentalizing some part of my body or some part of my soul, then I'm going to have a heart directed more into loving God, and I'm going to let both body and soul be given over to God. You know, some people have this approach that I'll give God my soul, but not my body. Or I'll give God my body, but not my soul. All of it has to be given over. And let me say to those who may be misusing their bodies by putting things into them. Well, I go to church and I pray and I read my Bible, but you know, my body is not that important. No, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Our body is to be a living sacrifice. So I'm not going to compartmentalize my life. And with my mind and with my heart, I'm going to love God. But now my body, that doesn't really matter. So I'll put drugs in it and tobacco and alcohol and things like that and not really worry about that because, you know, that's just my body. No, all. Now you stop and think about that. Can you honestly read that verse? I'm going to love God with my heart, mind, soul, body, and strength, and then sit there and put something in it that's killing it. Can we honestly do that? We can't honestly do that, can we? And yet people do it. And I believe how they do it is they compartmentalize. They say, well, you know, I'm giving God in this area, but over here I don't have to worry about it. No, all of it, all of it. And really, can I use my body as a living sacrifice while at the same time pumping into it and putting into it those things which destroy it? I believe we need to take seriously that matter. And rather than just talking about, well, you know, I need to stop this and I need to stop that, seriously serve God with all of our heart, mind, soul, body, and strength. And then Jesus said, look at this matter of loving your neighbor. Jesus said, and a second is likened unto this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That was taken from Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18. And this is basically saying, like the golden rule, you treat others the way you want to be treated. You love your neighbor as you love yourself. You treat them, you speak to them. And this is not your neighbor next door in the subdivision. It includes that. But as we're going to see in Romans 13, Paul uses it to talk about your brethren. Really, anybody around you is what it boils down to, in or out of the church. We're going to treat them the way we would want to be treated. Jesus says it in Matthew 7 and verse 12 in the matter of what we call the golden rule. As you would have others do unto you, so do unto them. And then turn with me to Ephesians 5. It's applied in the marriage in Ephesians chapter 5. And those of us who are married this morning, this is a challenge for us. Do we speak and act toward our spouse the way we would want them to speak and act toward us? If the answer is no, then we need to change. If the answer is yes, then we're following God's word. But this would clear up a lot of marital issues and a lot of marital stress and strife if we would just simply treat them the way we would want to be treated. Look at Ephesians 5 and verse 28. Even so, husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his own wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as Christ also the church. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one. And so this idea of treating the other spouse the way you would treat your own body. There are people today that act by a different rule, though. And that is, I'm going to mistreat the other person. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, just a moment. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is correcting abuses and problems among the Jews in this, you have heard it said, but I say unto you, section of the sermon. Look at it, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43. You have heard that it was said, thou shalt love thy neighbor. That's taken from Leviticus 19 and verse 18, the same verse that Jesus quoted. You have heard, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Let's just stop right there. Where in any place in the Old Testament was it taught to hate your enemy? Where did that come from? The Jews just made that up. You can't just make up stuff that they did. That is nowhere in the Scripture. But notice what Jesus said. You have heard that it was said. Somebody was saying it. It wasn't Jesus and it wasn't God in the Old Testament. It was these Jews who made it up to fit what they wanted to do. Listen, they wanted to hate their enemy. And so they just made it up and said that. But that wasn't God's word. That's not the rule by which we live. We love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, hold your hand there. Well, let's keep reading and then we'll come back. Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies and pray for them that persecute you. We're to live by a higher standard. We're to live by the standard of treating others the way we want to be treated. And even when that enemy mistreats us, we don't give him hatred back or vengeance back. We give him love in return. We pray for him. We love, look at verse 46, love them that love you. Well, the world does that, but you are to love your enemy. You're to live above that standard. And so we're called to a higher standard. Now, turn back to Leviticus chapter 19. This is very instructive. In Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 17, this is the verse that the Jews quoted, love your neighbor, and Jesus quoted, but look at the very next verse. Look at the very next verse. I'm sorry, I want to read verse 18, the verse that was quoted, and then I want to read verse 17. Thou shalt not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am Jehovah. That's the verse that Jesus quoted. Look at the verse right before it that the Jews conveniently ignored. Thou shalt not hate thy brother. They were doing the very thing that God said in verse 17 not to do. That's what they were doing. They were hating their enemy. You have heard it said, thou shalt love thy neighbor, verse 17 and 18, and hate your enemy. No, verse 17 says don't hate your brother, don't hate your enemy. They were going against verse 17 while highlighting verse 18. You know what that is? That's going down through the Bible, picking the verses that we like and ignoring the ones we don't. They like verse 18. They ignored verse 17. And so, yes, we need to love our neighbor, but we love our neighbor as ourselves, and we don't hate our enemy. People today return evil for evil. Someone does them wrong, they do it back to them. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12 and verse 17. Render no man evil for evil. But that's how the world acts. They cut me off, I'm going to cut them off. They cussed me out, I'm going to cuss them out. They lied to me, I'm going to lie to them. They finagled some deal, I'm going to do it in return. They beat me, I'm going to beat them. Do not return evil for evil. You love your neighbor as yourself. And so we live by a different rule. We live by a higher standard than what the world says. And we can grow. Now, while we're here, look at Romans chapter 12, verse 17. Render to no man evil for evil. How are we to act then? Well, come on down into chapter 13. Look at verse 8. Owe no man anything save to love one another, for he that loveth his neighbor hath fulfilled the law. That's Leviticus 19 and 18. How do you fulfill the law? That means that the law hangs on that. And when you get that one right, you will complete those other things that are related to that. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is summed up in this word, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. We're not going to mistreat someone. We're going to treat them properly. I want to mention something here. Look at verse 9 for just a moment. When you see these sins listed here, you might be thinking of the sin that is listed, but you know that there's another sin behind it? Look at it. For example, thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, what is wrong with adultery? Well, it's a sexual sin. That's right. Well, is there anything else? Yeah, there's another problem with it. When you did that, you did not love your neighbor. Because adultery is working ill for someone. You're having a sexual relationship with someone you shouldn't, and then you're going against the vows with your spouse. My point is, don't just think about adultery being the problem, but it's adultery plus you're not loving your neighbor as yourself. Look at the next one. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill. Well, what's wrong with murder? What's wrong with this kind of killing? Well, it's taking someone's life. That's right. But then there's another problem behind it, and that is you're not loving your neighbor. Look at the matter of stealing or coveting. Well, what's wrong with that? Well, you shouldn't take what doesn't belong to you. That's right. So that's a sin. But then there's another sin behind it, and that is you didn't love your neighbor by doing that. You see? And sometimes we don't think of that other problem. We're just thinking about, well, as long as I don't do such and such, then I'm okay. Well, there's another problem we need to be thinking about, and that is, have we been working ill toward our neighbor? Have we not been loving them as we should? And that's really what Paul is trying to bring out here. These things are wrong. Adultery, killing, stealing, coveting. But it's also, you're not loving your neighbor as you should when you do these things. Now turn with me to Galatians chapter 5 and let's see how it applies in the local church. In the local church, we need to be speaking and acting properly toward each other in their presence and out of their presence. And we need to be loving our neighbor as ourselves. We need to be speaking and doing to church members the way that we would want them to do that to us. And when we do that, there will be unity and harmony in the local church. When we don't do that, it's only it's a slow dripping effect, that like a snowball effect that gets bigger and bigger, and it leads to division and problems. Look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Wait a minute, you mean the whole law? I don't have to worry about anything else? No, it's the same thing as Matthew 22. It all hangs on this. The whole law is fulfilled in one word. In other words, the law, all of the law, especially the part of the law that deals with your fellow man, it can all come down to this right here. It's the foundational statement, love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, get it? If this is in the local church, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. In other words, the biting and the devouring, verbally, tearing down the preacher, the elders, the deacons, the Bible class teacher, the song leader, sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so, we're just going to bite and devour. It's not loving our neighbor as ourselves. We're just eating each other up, and it's just dividing the church, and the devil wants to get in and conquer and divide. And so we're going to, each church member here, we're going to speak and act in a way that does not bite and devour, but that builds up, and we're going to love our neighbor as ourself. Turn with me to James chapter 2. Let's see how it's used again there in the local assembly. James chapter 2. This is talking about a local church assembly. It's interesting, in my version, in chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, if any man come into your synagogue. I think that's kind of interesting. When you read that in American Standard, you might be thinking a Jewish synagogue. But it's really not. Now, these brethren had a Jewish background, and so I believe, you know, that's why James used that word. The Greek word is synagoge. He used that word because it was a Jewish Christian. But it's just simply an assembly. It's a church assembly is what it is. And these are Christians in an assembly. And if somebody comes in with fine clothing, with gold and so forth, and you give him a good seat, and then in verse 3, somebody comes in, you know, not wearing that, and you say, well, go stand over there, you see. You're making a distinction among brethren. That's not right. And so verse 8, howbeit, you fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It's in the context of treating brethren properly when they're in the assembly. Now, none of us probably have ever done that. None of us have probably never said to someone, a member of the church, you need to sit over here or there. But how do we talk to them? How do we speak to them? How do we act with them? We must treat them properly as our brethren. And let us grow in that direction. Yes, it applies to people out in the world, but it also applies to those of us who are brethren. Loving God with all of our heart, we're not going to compartmentalize our life. And then we're going to treat our neighbor as we want to be treated. Well, the lesson is yours. We're going to put it all together with this statement right here, and that is that John puts it all together in 1 John. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. I want to look at one passage and then we'll close. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. We love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, body, and strength, and we love our neighbor as ourselves simply because we learn how to do that from God. 1 John 4, 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is begotten of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not God, for God is love. Herein was the love of God manifest in us, that God hath sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So God showed how to do that on the cross. And we turn around now and do that with God. Let me ask you this. When God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, John 3:16, did he compartmentalize that? Did he say, okay, I'll love them in this little area, but I won't love them over in this area? No, it was a love that covered everything that we needed. And so in return, we give that to God. And he shows us how to do that. So, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. When that lawyer finished with Jesus, Jesus said to him, you're not far from the kingdom. Let me ask you this morning. How far are you from the kingdom? How far are you from being right with God? Are you pretty close, but you still need to come on into the kingdom? Do you need to be born again into the kingdom? How far are you from the kingdom? Do you know why Jesus said that to him? He looked and he said to the lawyer, you know, you're not far from the kingdom. You know why? Because the lawyer, when Jesus answered the question, the lawyer said, you're right, Jesus. We're supposed to love God with all of our heart. And we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. And Jesus said, you've answered with prudence, or you've answered well. You're not far from the kingdom. And that's in the Mark account. That man was not far from the kingdom because he had already started building on the right foundation. Loving God with your whole being and loving your neighbor as yourself. From that foundation, you can take off and go ahead and step on into the kingdom. Jesus said, you're not far from the kingdom. And so how far are you this morning? Do you need to make those changes? Do you need to come on in and be born again? As Jesus said, you're born anew into the kingdom. Born again through the water and the Spirit. Do you need to do that? Are you that close? The water's pretty close, isn't it? How far are you from the kingdom? Just a few feet. How far are you from the kingdom? And for those of us here this morning, let us, as members of the Lord's body, let us remember that the foundation each day is loving God with every ounce of our being, inside and out, loving our neighbor as ourselves, living above that standard of the world. The standard of the world is if someone does you wrong, do wrong back. Live above that. Live by the kingdom standard, not by the worldly standard. And when we build on that foundation each day, we will be able to build successfully. If you're subject to the invitation, if we can help you in any way, why would you come as we stand and sing?